What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at Managing Editor, FightfulSelect.com. Doing this Q&A show a little bit differently, and I'm going to make a show announcement at the end of this. As Steven Jensen is taking over the Weekender, I have a new project that I'm not ready to promote yet, but I'm going to bring it to you guys anyway. But we've got a lot of questions, so let's go ahead, get right into it. You'll notice this is an audio-only format. I am under the weather. I've been dealing with a sinus infection and a cold all week, so thought that avoiding video would be good for now. And if you all like it and are fine with it, I might consider doing this like this full time, because I know that posting each show twice with the video and the audio can get a little bit aggressive in your email notifications. So let's get to the first questions. What are the advantages or disadvantages of to the elite AIW trademarks leaking out so far ahead of time? Buzz, basically, that's it. The fact that you have people that are out there talking about this is probably a good thing for them, because otherwise, it's just, I mean, the announcement comes, but I mean, if you have those trademarks out there, it is a good thing to kind of have people talking about it ahead of time. Will TakeOver Blackpool be NXT UK only talent, or do you think there will be appearances from current NXT champions? I think they'll do a little bit of a mix, but I don't think it'll be too much. I think it'll mainly be to highlight that NXT UK talent, as they did with the first tournament. If Seth Rollins were to face Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 35, would they put Rollins over or let Brock continue his reign of terror? Based on the quality of Raw, I would hope they would put Rollins over, but I am never confident that they will do anything other than Brock Lesnar at this point. Do you think Becky versus Ronda is potentially bigger than Charlotte versus Becky versus Ronda? I say this as I think Charlotte could possibly take time away from the story itself. Yeah, I think the story is Ronda versus Becky. And it was Ronda, Charlotte, and Becky until Charlotte showed up and started to act like Becky Lynch last week. I think that hurt a lot. If and when Brock gets the DC fight, should he lose badly, is that him done in both WWE and UFC, or will Vince just roll out the checkbook again and add another zero? The latter. Vince will still want something to do with Brock Lesnar for as long as he can. He is the crossover star for WWE right now. They don't have anybody else. And I do think that he'll lose badly, to be honest with you. Will the UFC be done with him? Not if he wants to fight again and he stays clean. If he fails a drug test, yeah, I don't think they'll have anything to do with him. Will Ziggler and McIntyre fight each other at WrestleMania to finally give Ziggler a singles match at Mania, or will they stick together? I think they're already apart. I think they're quietly separated now and away from one another. Now, that's not me reporting anything. That's just my speculation. When is Becky Lynch back? Do you think she'll be stripped of the title and maybe win the Rumble? This was obviously before SmackDown, so she's back. She's good. But if she loses the title, I do think that she'll win the Royal Rumble. Why are all the women in the women's division based off of factions? I don't know. I mean, it works for New Japan, and it works pretty well. But in WWE, they don't really know how to manage all those people. They don't know how to handle all that. They don't know how to juggle all of those. So the short answer for WWE is because they're lazy. Not the women, the creative teams, the writers, Vince McMahon, they're all very, very lazy in this regard. The loss of power players in the WWE is quite showing to me, at least that creative still doesn't care about the fans. Roman, Becky, Strowman, all gone for now. Am I the only one that feels that both Raw and SmackDown are being offensive lately before this week's SmackDown? Yeah, outside of this past SmackDown, I liked it, but I did like this week's SmackDown. It was fair. But the last few weeks is miserable. It was offensive. Last week, the Thanksgiving week, was the most inconsequential week of pro wrestling I've covered since I started. And that dates all the way back to 2010 when I first wrote for Bill Apter. This was before Listen Your Boy 100. With Listen Your Boy 100 right around the corner and Sean versus Melissa hype, is there anywhere we can see footage of Sean Ross Sapp wrestling for real? I saw one clip against Jay Grooms, and it's good stuff. If not, would you consider making some clips available like a Patreon goal. I might, most of my matches are like charity type of stuff anyway. I did stuff for benefits. Anything that I ever made from wrestling, I would donate somewhere. And that's usually outdoor shows or really small shows or something like that. I wrestled so I would be better at this job and so I would have more experience in what I was talking about. I didn't want to go into it not knowing what I was talking about. And that's okay if other people do. That's completely fine. I'm all right with that. But I didn't want to do that. And as a result, I have actually had some of my stuff pulled from YouTube, except for that one. Jay wanted me to leave that one up, and I did. So I opted to go that route and leave that one up so he could use that to like send out for bookings and stuff. I was gassed in that match. But there's another one out there that most of them are me and Jay, because that was really the thing. He was my tag team partner and longtime trainer, so we would work together and all that. I might post some stuff. I don't know. It depends on what I have. We did some stuff in our gym as well, but I've got a few dozen matches, and I don't know how much video exists of them, but I'll consider it. I know Bray Wyatt made his return at Starrcade, but when his return becomes official, will it be as a heel or a face? Got to be as a baby face. Got to be as a baby face right now. They've tried all they could with him as a heel, and it didn't work. Not any fault of his own. It just didn't work. If Braun doesn't beat Brock for the title, will Braun ever be champion? Yes, he will be champion. For sure. 100%. I'll say 99%. You never know what'll happen. Will Samoa Joe at least ever hold a secondary title, like a tag, U.S., Intercontinental? For sure will. I fully believe that as well. What do you feel about Marvin Lewis finally stepping down as Bengals head coach? Well, that's not going to happen. He will never step down. He'll have to be fired. And Mike Brown doesn't want to fire him. And now it looks like Hugh Jackson is what we have following up. So, man, that's a bummer. What is WWE doing with the Revival? Absolutely nothing. Not a thing. That's pretty offensive. They are so good. They can work with anybody, and they're not doing anything. Anything. If the All Elite Wrestling does actually become a reality, will CM Punk ever make an appearance? I think they'll try to get him to make an appearance. But I don't know, man. CM Punk, he's a weird cat these days. He is really friendly sometimes. I mean, like we always are. I mean, there are times when I'm over the moon about life, and other times I'm dealing with Twitter trolls, and I'm not that happy, and CM Punk is the same way. He's got good and bad days. So depending on how he feels that day, who knows if he'll take the deal. And he'll probably go back and forth on whether or not it's the right move. He used to have that confidence that anything he touched was good, and I don't know if that's there anymore. And that's just me speaking as an outsider. I don't know. I don't have a direct line to CM Punk, so I think that he'll make another wrestling appearance. I don't know if it'll be for them, but I think they have the best shot. Where do you think Lars ends up, and where do you think Lars should end up? SmackDown, and I think he should end up there. They don't have a lot of guys quite like that. I just hope they don't spend time like putting him over Big E. People who are more charismatic, look better, are better in the ring, have more longevity, roughly the same age. Hey, Vince likes this bald, big white guy. You know what I mean? Like, there are other guys that could have fit the mold of what Lars Sullivan could be, or that place in the card. Rusev, even. Lots of people who already have it that I don't necessarily think Lars Sullivan does. Can Daniel Bryan and Miz exist or coexist as heels, or should Miz try a run as a face? I don't think you should try a run as a face. I like what he's doing now with Shane McMahon, trying to endear himself to Shane and trying to get Shane to be his tag team partner. I think that's a good way to keep them separate. Because, I mean, The Miz doesn't care that much about Daniel Bryan at this stage anyway. Daniel Bryan got what he wanted to get. So, it's hard to say, man. It's like, I think they can coexist as heels, but I think The Miz is going to be more of a heel trying to be a babyface than anything else at this point. To this point, which will happen first? Cruiserweight tag titles or the women's tag titles? Women's tag titles. Cruiserweight is essentially, I hate to say it's a dead brand, but it is. Eventually they'll get them, but you got like 12 guys on that roster right now. What do you think of LeBron's impact on the Lakers thus far, and what would you think would be a success for them season-wise? I think they should probably try to get the 5 or 6 seed. But LeBron's impact is what it is. He is the greatest player in the NBA, and anybody who says different is kidding themselves, man. I mean, I think he needs somebody better than Lonzo Ball running the point, and that's not just me busting balls. I really think he does. I mean, you look at him, he's played less this year than he's ever played before. He never played less than 35 and a half minutes a game, and he's under 35 this year. You've got a lot of young guys that can help him pick up the slack. You got Ingram, Kuzma, Hart, got a lot of those guys, but you got to have somebody better than Lonzo Ball running the. You can't have a point guard who shoots 57% from the free throw line. I mean, everybody thought that his stat line was going to improve. It didn't. Meanwhile, LeBron's still doing LeBron things, 27.5, 8 rebounds, 6, 7 assists. You got bright spots with Ingram and Kuzma and Hart, I think. I think that Lonzo Ball's the one that needs to go. They need to get rid of him and see what they can do with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I like them bringing in Tyson Chandler. Lance Stevenson was a good person to bring in as well. In your heart, SRS, do you see Roman wrestling at WrestleMania 35? I don't. I don't. Will Triple H wrestle at WrestleMania? Nope, I don't think so. Might do a run-in or a little smoke and mirrors gimmick, but I don't think that necessarily they want to get him in the ring with the type of injury that he has. And considering that he's the boss, if he put himself in the ring with that injury and wouldn't let other people, I think it's a bad move. EC3 in the Royal Rumble? Yeah, I think so. I think that would be a good one. A number three entrant that goes really far. When will Cena win his 17th title? 2019 or 20? And will 17th title be a long reign? I think it should be. I think that Cena is at the point now, he'll probably get a couple more reigns, but he deserves a good extended reign. I would probably do it on SmackDown, though. And I would probably do it when the Fox deal starts. I think that would be a good idea. Drew being champion, before, at, or after SummerSlam? Ah, man. The thing is, I wonder if he isn't by SummerSlam, if he'll cool off. It depends. Does Brock hang around? If Brock hangs around, probably at SummerSlam, maybe after. If Brock hits the bricks, then I would say before. What the hell was the point of breaking up Rusev Day if nothing was really planned for their feud to begin with? That's what WWE does. They just break up teams to break them up for no reason. Look at the Hart Dynasty. They didn't need to be split up. Like, what good did that do them? You had Natalya do essentially the same thing that she's done. She went on a little bit of a run, but D.H. Smith, Harry Smith, Bulldog Jr., whatever the hell you want to call him, didn't do anything, and Tyson Kidd just whittled away until he joined a tag team again. Can you see Aleister Black going to NXT UK before the main roster? That's an interesting question. Well, I mean, he lives in the States now. But if they want to add a lot of star power to that brand, that's not a bad idea. It's really not. Also, they could make him the god of that brand. And that would add a lot of juice to it. I think that would do what a lot of what they hoped would happen with NXT, with Enzo and with Neville and with a lot of people that they sent over there. That's a really good idea. It's a good way to protect him. He can come in for special stuff, and he can still have a main event run or a main roster run elsewhere, too. If Walter, ACH, and Strickland are new signees for NXT, do they just add to the roster, or do they replace three wrestlers headed to the main rosters? And if so, which three? No, they're just regular signings. They're not heading to the main roster. Nobody does that anymore, almost. Strickland and ACH, I mean, they might show right up on 205. Walter might show up right on NXT UK, but I don't think they're headed to the main roster, so I don't think so. Lars, forgotten about in 6 months, or do you foresee a consistent push? Would aligning him with the manager help, or does he suit being an uncontrollable monster better? See, he can talk a little bit, so I don't know if putting a manager with him is a great idea. I mean, it wouldn't hurt. Great talkers have had managers for a long time. With Lars, I think that the way that he talks works a little bit better for him. Because I don't know if anybody else can do justice to the way that he's talked. They've teased it before, but when do we finally get Natty versus Ronda? They're too thin on the babyface side of the women right now to turn Natty, so probably not for a while. But it will happen eventually. They want to wrestle each other. Who would you like as your next head coach of the Bengals? Should it be an offensive-minded coach as well? I would like... Let me think. Bill Cowher, that's who I want, and he ain't coming back. I'm not that hip to NFL coaches, to be honest with you. Ric Flair is a 2-time Hall of Famer. Can you see Bret Hart being a 3-time Hall of Famer? It's possible. Bret and the Anvil are very Hall of Fame-worthy tag team, and so is the Hart Foundation as a stable. What do you think? No, I think that the Hart Foundation will get in as a stable. Because once you do that, there's no point in putting Jim and Bret in themselves. And if you put Bret and Jim in as a tag team, I think people go, well, what about the other guys? Also, I don't think it'll happen for a while because so many of the family members are contracted by MLW. Will we ever see Lars versus Brock? Probably not. Lars will probably get beaten pretty early on when they realize he can't do like really good, great matches. He can do pretty good ones, but I don't think that he has it to be what they think it is. Just read on Twitter that NXT WarGames had a larger viewership than Survivor Series. Is that correct? It should be. If you mean on the WWE Network, no, absolutely not. Nowhere even close. Everything that WWE does from a pay-per-view perspective absolutely just dwarfs NXT pay-per-views. I mean, I've never seen one or heard of one that even came close. I can tell you that us personally, our post-show did, 3 times as much for Survivor Series as NXT TakeOver. NXT TakeOver, if we're lucky, will do as much as a WWE Raw review. So, no, that is definitely not the case. With Fightful growing slowly but surely, have you noticed any differences with how either former employers or wrestling sites or journalists treat you now? Fightful seems to go uncredited quite often when it comes to breaking news. I wonder if you see more retractions or receive apologies as your name recognition increases. So I've not made it a secret. I'm on very good terms with Wrestling Inc. I got a couple of offers from them, 2 or 3 offers over the last couple of years. But Fightful is what I love, and it's what I help create. And even though I maintain a positive relationship with Raj Giri, I almost never get, have our stories covered. Interviews are never covered. The Becky Lynch thing was, maybe the first or second thing that was ever covered. And the first thing was something they covered, didn't credit me, and I said, hey, Raj, can you all credit me? And they did. Raj is really particular about that. So I don't think it's really changed. I think that story was just too big to avoid. What culture? There's one person who's still there that even remembers me. Almost everybody else there that was there when I was has left. So there's no motive to not cite me for What Culture stuff. I just don't think they always do the legwork. I get along with Simon Miller very well. I think he's hilarious. I think he's one of the best video guys in the world. But, I do see that here and there, and I'm always quick to say, hey guys, credit us, that's important. It's important for our SEO. There are people like Raja.com, for example, does millions and millions and millions of views. Before a couple weeks ago, they hadn't broken news in 20 years. But you know what? I'm going to cite them accordingly. I even had a conversation with the guy who runs it, and I was like, yeah, if you have news, send it to me. We will cite you. That stuff is important. And, I do notice that, but I mean, it doesn't really bother me as much as it used to because I don't have to say anything now. Usually other people say stuff beforehand, and I don't do the daily news grind like I used to, the news stories. I'm out chasing exclusives all day, so generally people will give me credit for that because they know that I've worked for it. Are there any long forms you have planned or you can talk about, or have you been so slammed you haven't had time? Haven't had time. I introduced that Making a Finisher series, and that's taken a bunch of time. The Sean O'Hare one's still in the plans. It's still in the plans, and there is one that I really want to do. I want to do a long form about Rick Martel's 1 month in WCW, where he had like TV title shots and all this stuff. I would really like that. Has your wife ever seen you wrestle? And if so, what did she think about you doing it? I mean, she's been at every match I've ever had, I believe. Like, but I'll take you one step above. Well, I mean, I don't think it's been a secret. I've had some pretty bad neck injuries. I had stenosis, still do, and had some trouble walking for a while. Like, couldn't walk straight for a while, for a few months, really, because it got so bad and I didn't want surgery. Did a lot of yoga to get over that. So once it became clear to her that I wasn't going to hurt myself again doing it, she was fine with it. To the point where once upon a time, and video did used to exist, but I had it wiped from the web, that we had so many no-shows for this shitty little show in Portsmouth, Ohio. And I mean shitty, 30 people, 35 people, and you know how much I hate Portsmouth, Ohio, that I looked at things and we looked at the card, and you got to get really crafty. When 10 of the 22 people that were supposed to show up on your show, not my show, but a show, are out there, you got to get crafty. So you do a singles match, you do another singles match, you throw a tag match in there, you do a battle royal at the end to get everybody back there. But if you don't give them an hour and a half to 2 hours, that's rough. So I straight up found a hood and a suit. And I was like, Kara, we're going to go to the store. We're getting you stuff. We're painting you up like the goddamn Ultimate Warrior. And we went out there and I did the job for the Ultimate Kara. It was about a 1 minute match. She had done enough with me and seen enough of that to where it was like, we can get through this. And here's the embarrassing part beyond the entire situation, from the promotion to most of the wrestlers to the crowd being embarrassing. She got the biggest reaction of the night. Kids loved her. So yeah, not only has she seen me, I talked her into doing a match where literally all she did was clothesline, body slam, big splash. It was miserable. Up next, have you been able to confirm the reported new restrictions in NXT contracts? I believe we've heard no working with non-affiliated promotions, no working without a paramedic present, and no matches against contracted talent from outside promotions like ROH, New Japan, Impact. Yes, that is confirmed. What will the impact be on the UK scene? It'll drive a lot of the prices down for some shows because they're not going to have to pay for some of these top-level talent. But it will also cause the wrestlers who are not signed to kind of up their prices a little bit because they'll be the main event people now. They'll be the main event guys and girls. What do I think it'll do for some of the, like, the Progress and Rev Pro and all that stuff? Rev Pro, like you said, it's already restricted, so it'll be the same for them. Progress will really benefit. There's more exclusivity to it. Rev Pro is doing ZSJ versus Pac on January 6th. This has to be a massive matchup. You're talking about what Rev Pro is doing. Yes, that is a main event for a 5,000 seat venue as opposed to 400. I don't know what they're thinking there. I don't know like the legalities of what they can sell and what they can't, but yeah, that should have been a bigger venue, but I don't know if they had enough time. With TakeOver Blackpool announced, could we see some main roster talent show up? I imagine Becky and Finn Balor at minimum need to be in the crowd. That is a good idea. Forgive me if I'm simply mixing things up, but wasn't the Mae Young winner supposed to get an NXT Women's Championship shot? There's groundwork for Toni Storm versus Shayna Baszler matchup from their match at Royal Albert Hall. Yeah, I thought so, but maybe that was just me assuming it because of last year. I'll ask. It's award season. Any chance of a podcast to discuss this, maybe with a Hawkins or Hayes that watches non-WWE stuff? I can't think of many candidates on the for Wrestler of the Year on main roster. Ronda has been a terrific rookie and should have Rookie of the Year wrapped up. I agree with that. Becky hasn't had the volume of top-tier matches, and the man gimmick hasn't run that long. It was interrupted by injury. Ah, man. Wrestler of the Year. Whew. That's a tough one. That is a tough one. There is nobody that sticks out as like, man, they're the greatest wrestler of the year. I think that Jonathan Gresham should be like maybe breakout of the year. I think there are some good options there. Gargano. Johnny Gargano is wrestler of the year. Probably for me. He has unbelievable matches every takeover. Tommaso Ciampa might be up there too, even though he was gone for a little bit of it. Ospreay is the lead. For your lead is a good opportunity as well. Have you watched NXT Arrival? It's been a great way to get to know Matt Riddle. Who produces this? Borash? Why aren't they airing these on NXT TV? They're terrific. They might down the line. When I asked Triple H about Breaking Ground, and he said that he would like to do it, but do it in a different way, and then they launched this YouTube a couple hours later, that's what he meant. That's what he was talking about. Could they succeed if they're on Hulu and Amazon? Yeah, I think they could do well. I mean, it wouldn't hurt to have them on there. Sorry, that was about something else. Yeah, I don't know who produces it. I assume Borash. I will find out. Do you see any candidates for a network that All Elite Wrestling could score a TV deal with? Fox and USA seem like they're off limits, and Pop is too small time. Yeah, Access is in that boat too. Hulu and Amazon wouldn't do any better. They'd be better off just putting it on YouTube if they were doing that. WGN seems like a front runner to me. With all the trios in WWE, it seems like are being created. Does it seem like we'll eventually get trios championships? I don't think so, but it seems like they're getting more three-man factions. If they did, I could see the tag titles being defended as trios titles for a while. I think that makes a little bit more sense. Who would you say had the best NXT title reign? That's a good question. Now, see, Bo Dallas held it a long time, not the best. Big E and Seth Rollins, nobody even remembers those. Bobby Roode, I didn't like his matches. Drew McIntyre, too short. So, like, when you look at things, is it Balor? I wasn't big on his run either. I might say Kevin Owens because he was able to bring that title to WWE. Tommaso Ciampa is up there. He's getting up there right now. And by the time that NXT TakeOver rolls around, I think it's 45 more days. So you're looking at a 180-day reign for him. He'll be in fifth place. But I got to go with Owens because of what he was able to do with the belt. Apologies. The cold killing me. Who from the current roster do you see jumping ship to AEW? Maybe The Revival, maybe Gallows and Anderson. Off the top of my head, those are the ones I think should, because The Revival have already made long-term feud with the Young Bucks there. Anderson and Gallows are a benefit to any division. Pardon. How would you book an invasion angle between NXT and WWE, and what guys would you pick to lead it? We actually cover this on an upcoming edition of Fightful Books It with Simon Willis, so I'll leave that for them. Say Vince retires in 2020. What's the first thing that Stephanie and Triple H do, or what's the first thing that Shane does? Get rid of all the Yes Men and Kevin Dunn. That should be the first thing they do. Where do you think WWE is going with Asuka now? Well, obviously, to this title match, but they hear the reaction she's getting. I was told that the reaction that she got when Becky Lynch was picking her partner, or picking the person to replace her, went far for them. Looks like they're finally doing Rusev versus Nakamura now. Is it going to be finally Rusev Day? Him going after a title that he had and never really should have been knocked from that level, it doesn't do a lot for me. And they made him look like an idiot. Made him look like a fool and a jobber. So I don't know. Will Cesaro ever have any success again as a singles wrestler title-wise, or has that ship sailed? I don't see him as a world champion, but I think he can be a great Intercontinental champion. And if he does open challenges, I think that'd be great. But the open challenge does not need to lead to him facing Dolph Ziggler 7 times in a row. That seems to always happen. What happens to Baron Corbin after his run as GM? I think a tag team would be best. There are too many guys that can do what he does better than him. He's got some cool moves, though. If and when Progress ever gets added to the tiered network, what do you think they'll edit? Do you think they'll edit stuff like the Jimmy Havoc storyline? There's some axe-wielding insanity. For sure they are. Do you see Jericho playing a role in AEW? Not the type of role that was reported originally. He will make a few appearances, yeah. How would you prep yourself if you were going to go one-on-one with Matt Riddle, wrestling, or MMA? I had somebody contact me about when we did the broadcast, and they didn't contact Matt, but they said, would you do a wrestling match against Matt? And I said, yeah, but I could only get offense in if I, like, kicked him in the balls or something. Like, I don't want to make it look like part-time wrestler is on the level of Matt Riddle, one of the best in the world. How do I prepare if I'm going one-on-one in MMA? I don't, man. Like, when I try to actually wrestle my catch wrestling coach, it's like moving a sack of cement, man. And he's not the genetic freak that Matt Riddle is. I wouldn't prepare. Any time that I waste trying to prepare to get ready for Matt Riddle would just be... I mean, this guy was probably a top 15 welterweight when he left the UFC. Man, there's no chance. I would throw one hand and hope it connected and hope that by some miracle I knocked him out, and then after that, it goes downhill, and even that's downhill. Knowing yourself the way that you do now, could you have handled the daily grind of being a pro wrestler or MMA fighter? No, I couldn't have, and that was one of the reasons why I didn't pursue fighting, because I was in my mid-20s training, and I had 17, 18, 19-year-olds coming in who had gas tanks that were just unbelievable. I have some natural athleticism, but that's it. I don't have the genetics. I don't have the skill. I have the eye for stuff like that, but I don't have the skill. Performing is much more my pace, and I like doing pro wrestling. But no, I couldn't have handled the daily grind of being a WWE wrestler either. I don't know if I could handle the daily grind of just working for WWE. And I work a lot, man, but the travel is ridiculous. If you could only ask Vince McMahon one question, what would it be? I would ask him why he doesn't listen to the audience more. If there were a way to start over again for some talent, who would you repackage, male, female, tag, and faction? We'll talk more about that on the Fightful Books It. Who are some of the lesser-known people backstage who are close to Vince and involved in the writing process as Bruce Pritchard used to be? Ryan Ward, Road Dogg, Triple H, Michael Hayes, not lesser known, really. A couple of producers. That's it. Vince keeps a tight circle. He doesn't... Like, there are a lot of wrestlers who don't talk to Vince. Wouldn't you think the 205 Live talent would greatly benefit the product if they were put in Intercontinental title open challenges? Yeah, they would. SRS, we're all friends here. Did you underestimate Melissa? Yeah, I did. I booked that. I mean, come on. Do you think the NXT UK product has the potential to surpass the current NXT product? No, I don't. On the NXT call, Triple H mentioned that the San Jose taping was done in part to test out some new filming techniques and get a different look in the mix. What did you notice that was different about the filming? Off the bat, it seemed to be way more camera cuts, so this new shit they're trying to do like Kevin Dunn in NXT. Yeah, they wanted to produce it more like a WWE show, and it wasn't good. Did you have a chance to check out Marcel Barthel versus EC3 from this week's NXT? I thought he was excellent in Progress. Now that Walter's in the fold, we should be getting some ring camp goodness across NXT and NXT UK, right? I liked it. Man, that's EC3's specialty. You take a good worker and you have a good sports entertainment match with them. Boy, he's great at that. And yes, I am with you on the ring count thing. Where do you see NXT going with Punishment Martinez character? Well, he lost to Matt on the tapings. So I don't know. It looks like he's taking Dijak's spot of big guy who can work and do a lot of cool stuff but loses to people. I thought he'd be like maybe like Undertaker Jr. There were a lot of names not at the most tapings. Are we getting odd early call-ups, or were people banged up? No, sometimes there were a couple people banged up, but I mean, they do things where they tape on the road, and they tape some stuff in San Jose, and they do a lot of backstage filming stuff. So that's really about it. When do we see Leo wrestle in the main roster, a tag match with Bobby Lashley? Probably pretty soon. Who will be Triple H's Triple H when he takes over? I'd say probably Road Dogg. Maybe Borash down the line, depending on who gets more influence in NXT. Do you see Cassius Ohno appearing in the main roster? Probably in a Rumble, but he's a player coach. Would it be an insult to Braun if Lars became champion before he does? Yes, I think so. Once Roman returns, is there any way possible the WWE would turn him heel? No shot now. No shot now. But imagine the shock value. Yeah, it would be shock value. I think down the line they should if it wears thin. Have you ever seen Beyond the Mat and Wrestling with Shadows? If so, what did you think? Yeah, I have both of them. I have an extensive wrestling DVD and film collection. And I liked them both. I thought New Jack was hilarious and Beyond the Mat. Beyond the Mat's very good. Wrestling with Shadows is very good. I would recommend Forever Hardcore is a good documentary that actually, that Jeremy Borash did. There we go. Man, I spaced out a little bit there. My God. So time to announce the new show. As I've mentioned, Jeremy Lambert is taking over the Fightful Weekender, where we review Impact, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, all that stuff. I'm still going to watch those shows, but for me to watch them by a deadline, not be able to binge watch them and review them, it got to the point to where even after I delegated three shows to Warren Hayes, I'm just reviewing and watching wrestling, and I don't want that to be my career, just reviewing and watching wrestling all the time. I want to get news for you guys. I want to get some scoops for you guys. So I've moved the Fightful Wrestling Weekly off of the Weekender and the Injury Report, and instead I'll be doing that on something I call the Fightful Report. I don't have a set time for the show. I don't have a set length for the show or anything. I mean, my God, it might be 2 minutes. It might be an hour and a half. Like, it just depends on what news there is that week. And you all will get stuff from the Weekender way, way, way earlier than, or the Weekly way earlier than other people. At least that's the plan. I'll talk about some of my favorite matches of the week and some things that I heard about those. I'll talk about Fightful news, some behind the scenes stuff, things that didn't work out for us. I'll be pretty transparent. It is a look behind the scenes of wrestling and behind the scenes of Fightful. So I'm going to go ahead and cover the Impact or the Injury Report and the Fightful Wrestling Weekly. And next week, we're going to kind of start the Fightful Report. And I think it'll be audio only as long as this one goes fine. Because, I want to limit the number of posts that go to your all's emails because I know they can get annoying. But let's go ahead and get into it. Injury Report. On the Raw side, Roman Reigns announced that he was battling leukemia on October 22nd. He is sidelined indefinitely. Braun Strowman needed elbow surgery and got that last Monday. Expected out several weeks. Triple H tore his pectoral on 11-2. He had surgery 4 days later. Alexa Bliss has been sidelined with a concussion since October 20th, but has been back at the Performance Center working out. Bobby Lashley working through a separated shoulder. Jason Jordan recovering from neck surgery, vows to return. Lots of double surgeries. Sami Zayn double shoulder surgery in June. Kevin Owens double knee surgery in October. Goldust double knee surgery in July. All expected back next year. Goldust says the end of his career is nearing after almost 30 years in wrestling. He's been working as a talent scout. Fandango tore his left labrum in early July. He is out until at least the end of the year, probably next year. SmackDown side. Rowan tore his right bicep in August, while his tag team partner, Luke Harper, has a wrist injury and underwent surgery in October. Both are expected back next year. Sin Cara, knee surgery on August 14th, expected back next spring. Ty Dillinger had a hand injury on October 29th. No word on when he'll be back. NXT, Tegan Nox tore ACL, MCL, LCL, dislocated her kneecap and tore both meniscuses. No timetable for a return. She has the worst luck. Eric Bugenhagen has a concussion. Wasn't working to begin with. Don't know when he'll be back. Sabatelli and Moss, as they had their breakup, also their bodies broke up. Pectoral muscle injury, a torn pectoral for Tino in April. Riddick tore his Achilles in mid-April. They're both out until next year. Sanjay Dutt tore his right Achilles tendon. His return is unknown. Rosemary out until next year with an undisclosed knee injury that she didn't have taken care of for a while. New Japan and Ring of Honor. Shibata has that subdural hematoma. His in-ring return is unlikely. Hikuleo had an ACL injury on March 3rd. Will not be back until next year. Will be a part of that firing squad team, I'm told. Hiromu Takahashi landed on his neck. Hospitalized July 7th. Back in Japan. Will not require surgery, but things not looking hot for him. But he says he wants to return. Tennille Dashwood, shoulder surgery in October, sideline until 2019. Taiji Ishimori sustained what was said to be a minor ankle injury way back on October 31st. He got involved in a match the next night, but has not wrestled since, so he's missed a full month. Cody Rhodes, working with a torn meniscus, surgery planned for January. He has been getting cute with some of his matches in order to make them work. Others, Joey Janela sidelined up for a year, if he is to be believed, after September 2018 knee surgery. Joey Ryan suffered a suspected torn pec in early November. Vanessa Craven broke her leg in late October, requires surgery. Marco Stunt broke his leg on November 17th. Surgery is planned. Ray Phoenix has a groin strain and is out for the rest of the year. MJF fractured his elbow in late November, out 4 to 6 weeks, but MLW says they're going to strip him of his title, his middleweight title, if he's not back in a couple of weeks. So that should make for interesting programming, to say the least. Let's talk about the Fightful Wrestling Weekly. Now, the more we get into this on the Fightful Report, I'll just tell you stuff that will eventually be in the weekly. Because some of that stuff, I limit it to roughly 10,000 or 1,000 words. And some stuff gets pushed into later weeks. Killer Cross. I was able to be on a call with Killer Cross recently. Actually, a couple times. He does a lot of work in Mexico. And I asked him about his experiences teaming with WCW vet Juventud Guerrera. Juventud can be a polarizing personality backstage and on the screen. But Cross was quick to point out that he's had nothing but positive experiences with him and was very complimentary about how Juventud has helped him grow as an in-ring competitor. I also talked to Taya about switching back and forth between Mexico and the States, and she says that she implements a lot of the lucha style into her American work, and she doesn't subscribe to the notion that if you're a heel, you shouldn't do fast-paced and high-flying moves. So that throughout her time in Japan, she noticed a lot of the female stylistic influence came from Mexico as well. Carlos Toro had spoken to Madison Rain a while back. She's been everywhere this year, and we're told that she keeps a low profile and generally gets along with everyone at the show she's at, which helps keep her options open. She says she's targeting the Women of Honor Championship, and with Deonno Purrazzo signing with WWE and Tennille Dashwood hurt, Ring of Honor inked her to a new deal. She was very complimentary of the standard that Sumi Sakai set as world champion. Speaking of Ring of Honor, they're on Fight now, and Fight has been very media-friendly lately. I don't know if I've mentioned that, but they've been like sending out access codes and all kinds of stuff, really making an effort to increase their content, interesting content, and let the media know about it, because when the media knows about it, then the audience knows about it. A couple of the making of finishers that I had, Stevie Ray, UFC 229 weekend. I had Gangrel for Halloween weekend. Thematic, you know. I target those special weekends, and probably will for Punishment Martinez WWE debut, for releases of the series. Stevie Ray told me that the idea of him using a slapjack came out of nowhere, and that Doug Dillinger made it for him and gave it to him, and he was like, "What is this? I didn't ask for this." As for the move, the slapjack, to differentiate it from a pedigree, he wanted to add that lifting element to the move. He also told a story about Harlem Heat abandoning the Harlem Hangover. He said that when they did it, they actually knocked a guy loopy, and Stevie took blame for the spot and wouldn't specify who it was, but said it was a friend of his. For the Gangrel edition, I published our discussion with the former wrestler and sought out a quote from Chris Van Vliet, who is a reporter who you've probably seen out of Florida, who does a lot of good interviews, and he took the move almost on top of his head, like in scary fashion that Gangrel didn't want him to take. But that was a great addition. And Gangrel actually admitted to me that the move, creating it, was a mistake. In the heat of the moment, he decided to adopt it as a finisher. And there were people like Barry Windham who used a version of it, And he, Gangrel pointed as Jeff Hardy as someone who took the move great, and Draws as someone who wasn't so great. Spoke to Britt Baker recently as well about her experiences at All In and Ring of Honor. She wanted to make it very clear she's not contracted to anybody besides a one-year dental contract. She told us a story about having to help out both Shayna Baszler and Joey Janela due to dental emergencies, and said that they both cracked a tooth in half. But in Baszler's case, she had to get an emergency root canal. I also spoke to Baszler for an upcoming edition of a new series along the line of Making a Finisher and Wikipedia Fact Check called Enhancement Stories, where I talked to wrestlers about essentially working as jobbers, extras for WWE. I had Gangrel talk about his extensive experience with this earlier this year as a pilot. So we got Britt Baker for that as well. It's going to be good stuff. I wanted to clarify something. Some people were asking me about this. Simon Gotch tweeted Fightful last week, and specifically me, who he doesn't follow, so he knows who I am and knows that I run Fightful, and asked why we chose to use the Chris Van Vliet interview with him as the thumbnail instead of one that he sent along. And I did it because he asked us to, and I was like, all right, but I'll explain to you the line of thinking. Chris Van Vliet makes really high-definition, pretty thumbnails, and typically I'm against having watermarks on our thumbnails, but Chris is a friend. I like him. It helps him. It makes our stuff look good. And the clip that Simon Grimm sent me was a third-party clip. So what happens when that clip gets pulled down eventually by the copyright holder is that we have a dead clip. It's bad for SEO. It's bad for the thumbnail. So that's why we do it. WWE employee told me this week that many were surprised at how Becky Lynch got back so quick after returning or after the concussion and broken nose. Many in WWE often fear the worst with concussions because they're so unpredictable. For instance, Alexa Bliss missed over a month of action while Becky was just cleared after a couple of weeks. Listen, your boy 1000. I'll talk more about it next week on the Fightful Report, give you the behind the scenes, but we had James Ellsworth as a special guest for Listen, Your Boy, but he no-showed, and then, obviously, as the weeks came closer, it became obvious it was a good idea that he no-showed. So the Fightful Report launches next week. Please tune in to Steven Jensen's first edition of The Weekender. I'm going to make it free to the public, that way they can kind of see what we're getting here. But thank you guys so much. We're out.